Welcome to Parenting Matters. This is Parenting Matters, where we talk about parenting matters. Why? Because parenting matters. All right. Well, hello and good day to all of you that are out there.
Yes.
How are you, Miss Tanya? Doing well?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm doing pretty well. I've got a lot of things going on this week and next week and then the week after.
And, and then it just keeps
and then
going.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas. I know, it's crazy that it's already October. It's not Thanksgiving, but it's close. But Halloween already in like next week.
Yep.
And it just blows my mind.
It's like incredible.
It feel behind.
Seemed like it took a long time and then it didn't.
Yeah, it was slow and then it just sped up real fast over the past few months.
That's exactly what it's done. And I'm sure that if you're listening, you've probably felt the exact same way. Maybe it felt really slow at the beginning, but then it just kind of ramped up and it's ramped up to a level where you go, wow, it's November.
It's almost over.
Yeah. It's almost, this 2020 is almost over. What the heck's 2021 going to bring?
Yeah.
Who knows?
And I feel like I've just lost a year.
Yeah. Well, I think you kind of feel that way a lot of times. That's a good point though, actually. Did you lose a year? You look into the psychosomatics of all that. What did you lose?
What did you not gain?
What did you gain? Did you miss out? I think there are a lot of parents out there that just said, I'm just going to wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to see how this thing pans out. I'm going to make sure that I, you know, when this thing spins back up and we get back to normal, that's when I'll pick back up.
Yep.
And right now, I remember
everybody's
we had a conversation
to get back to normal.
One week you weren't here for some reason. And I had a conversation with Jesse. No, it was way before that. It was
way
like
before
April.
That.
And he was talking about how the whole thing had gone off the rails at that point. It had been about a month.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they weren't eating right and there was not a lot
house,
of order. And there was a lot of, nobody was, you know, he said, we got to get this thing straightened out because it's falling apart. And I think that that's a very common thing for parents during this time because the uncertainty just led to, I can't make big plans and I can't, you know, but the reality is
you don't have any more routines.
Yeah.
You can't make any more plans. You don't know what's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
The reality is though, our routines and our plans are not intentional parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just the things that we do.
The day-to-day
can sometimes
keep us going.
Be the rules that we live by.
Mm-hmm.
And, we have to be careful of that because we're talking about intentional parenting. And one of the things that we're talking about today is one of the most intentional things that we have to do. And I think Jesus knew that, and that's why he talked about it. If you look in the Bible, there are very few good instances of parenting models.
Right.
In fact,
I'd like one or two.
Challenge you to bring me any, actually.
That's a good thought.
Jesus wasn't a parent. He talked a little bit about parenting, but mostly he stuck around the other basic principles. And again, you look at any David, Solomon, you look at Moses, Abraham, Adam and Eve, you name them.
Right.
Are the people that we look at as the pillars
of faith.
They're horrible parents. At least in the part that got written down.
Right.
In the part
I'm sure
that
they
got
did some
down.
Good stuff.
You
but.
Think Isaac thought Abraham was a great parent after he took him up on the mountain, tied him down to the altar, and then put the knife up in the air, and he went...
Isaac was very understanding.
They didn't write that down. How Isaac
panicking.
Always slept with one eye open after that. Like, what's dad going to do this time? Yeah, I don't know if that's true, but I would have. I'd have been like, hey, you talking to God today?
Why are you close to me?
What's he saying? And you know what he told me? He told me to leave me alone.
Yeah. I need you to back up about 3 feet. Mm-hmm. You're too close.
Exactly. So when you go through scripture and you're trying to find ways to learn how to parent, you have to dig a little deeper.
Right.
Now, that's not where you don't make things up, but you can see where Jesus intentionally, and scripture intentionally shows us the model. It's not about a strategy and it's not about a routine and it's not about structure, although
it's
those things are
steps.
Good.
These it's, three yeah, steps
no
to better parenting.
And there's no secret. One of my favorite scenes in a cartoon movie, Wreck-It Ralph, Ralph Wrecks the Internet, at the end where...
I love how you always quote cartoons.
That's all I know. I don't watch a lot of movies. I have to use a movie. I'm preaching this week, and I have to use a movie as my illustration, and I haven't seen the movie. I need to see the movie.
You better
watch
the movie.
It's a great, strong illustration. I just got to find it. Anyway, end of the movie. So the main character for the good guy for Wreck-It-Ralph, Fix-It Felix, and his wife adopted the 16 racers that got kicked out of Sugar Rush. Again, if you haven't watched it, you have no idea what I'm talking about.
But it just sounds like gibberish.
They said,
"You're making
when they
words.
First adopted them, what is it going to take? You just be good friends with them, you give them everything they want, and then they're going to be great kids. And they realized real quickly, as there's a scene in the bar
happening.
Where Fix-It Felix is just drinking root beer like crazy, that's not the way it works. And so by the end, the kids were perfectly well-mannered and wonderful and completely different. And the guy, or there's a guy that's sitting in the stands watching these girls race with Fix-It Felix and his wife. And he goes, "Man, I got to be honest. I had no confidence that you guys were going to be able to do this, but you have done a great thing." And Fix-It Felix goes, "Well, the secret to parenting is really this." And then the cars go by and you hear, all you hear is that while they're explaining it to the guy. And then there's a break and she goes, "Yeah. And all you have to do is add." Cars go by. And he's just like, "Oh my gosh, I wish every parent could hear that." And all I want to go is, "Hey, what was that? What was that information?
What did they say?" Well, I love
it.
Maybe some of you have tried the let's be their best friend and give them everything they want. And you have realized that doesn't work.
It's not in long term. It may work in the moment. In fact, I was driving to school today.
I don't think it works. Some it might work in the very short moment.
Driving to school today, and Zoe, we had to pull over to go to the restroom. She possibly has a bladder infection or something like that. But it's right. We pulled over right next to a donut shop.
Uh-oh.
And she kept saying, "Dad, I want donuts." And I said, "Okay, but we're not going to get donuts because you've already had breakfast and you've had a snack and it's only 7:30. She goes, "But I want a donut." I'm like, "Yeah, I know, but you really don't need a donut. You've had your breakfast and you're
good.
Okay.
You're good."
And she just kept saying it. And to make it better, I could have just said, "Let's just go get a donut."
Right.
But that's not the best. That's not the, that's not the way she needed to understand. And I tried to explain it to her, and she's five, so she didn't understand it. But guess what? She moved on.
She did. And she didn't learn that well. If I just keep asking, Dad will just give me what I want.
She believes that is the case, though. She's a fairly stubborn person. And she, anyway, your kids can be that way also. And you feel like in that moment, you can get into a battle with them and try to outwill them. You're not going to.
Right.
You may be bigger and stronger, but they
are
way less
stubborn.
To lose. And they're going to, make it out. So the only thing that you can go to in that instance is patience.
Yep.
And I had to, I knew
and
we
kindness.
Were going to come in here and talk about patience today. We were going to talk about love. And so I was constantly reminded this morning of multiple times in just a 30-minute spot that patience is critical.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to employ it, even though I just wanted to scream or I wanted to yell or I wanted to just say, "All right, that's it. No more of this." I said, "What does love require of me?" Mm-hmm. Right now, love requires patience.
Patience, yeah. We're doing a Bible study with a couple of moms and Mother's Day out, and our topic this week is blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. And throughout the study, it brings up their scripture, and one of the things it says is, you know, blessed are those who are patient when they're wronged. And I'm just like, oh, that is hard. It's hard to be patient.
Yes, it is very hard to be patient. And also, I want to apologize for anybody who's listening. There's a lot of things going on in this area that's usually not happening.
I was wondering where music
was. So there's
going to
be like music now for some reason. Somebody's phone just flew off. We're actually in a closed door room and it's just that loud out there.
You can still hear it.
So sorry. We're actually in our normal room, but apparently we're being invaded, which happens at a church.
Yep. We got to share. Sharing is caring.
That's true. All right. So the first thing, let's just keep talking about what we're dealing with here. The first thing is, in regards to what you said. The secret of parenting. Which is, that's what this whole podcast is about. And if you've missed any episodes, go back and listen. And
that's right. We're going to give you all the
give it a rating. We've given you, 8 months now of parenting tips and tricks that makes you the perfect parent.
And the secret is, it's hard work.
There's no secret.
There's no secret. There's no shortcut.
No shortcut, nothing. But you brought up something, and it said the gentle. You were talking about a gentle spirit and living that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that goes right into the basic truth of the way that you live is going to determine whether your kid, the way that you act, the way that you live, the way that you model. And we've talked about this a lot. Is going to determine whether your kids grow up to be like you or even like you, and that's a hard reality. Because they're going to listen to a lot less of what you say, and they're going to watch and do a lot more of what you do.
It's not your rules, it's not your organization or your strategies or your perfect parenting plan.
Yeah,
those things are great, but those are not the things that kids are going to remember and hold on to.
Somehow in the middle of all of your structures and all of your plans, your kids are going to adopt the things you hate the most about yourself.
Yes.
The impatience that you have, or the bad habits that you have, or the outbursts that you do. Why? Because they saw that.
Right. They saw it modeled.
That's right. They don't care about the things that you wrote down as much as they care about what they saw, because that's how we learn.
Yeah. And it's not that you can never have an outburst in front of your children.
Of course not. They need to know that that's okay.
Right. And then you have to model how to repent or confess and apologize and humble yourself and all those things. So it's not that we're telling you have to be perfect in front of your children, because that's just not possible. But what is your general personality? What character do you generally display most often in front of your children?
That's right. And the truth is, we talked about this a little bit last week, that you have to kind of watch that. You have to audit yourself. And because a lot of times we do things we don't even recognize.
Right. You have to be aware of yourself.
Have you
get the log so out of
you
your
just
own
got
eye.
Married?
I just got married.
You just got married, so you're
going
now
like
for the first time
6 weeks
living with someone closer than you've ever lived with them before.
Yeah.
Like, I know you had roommates, but this is different.
It's different.
And have you learned anything about yourself now that you've been married? Like, that he's pointed out that you went, you know, I've just always done that. I've never considered. You don't have to like tell us what it is, but like, have there been things where you're just like, oh, huh? Because I remember, I was 20, so I was very different. I was very stupid. But there were a lot of things that Randy would say, and I would go, wow, I never even considered that.
Oh, like you never knew you were doing that.
I never knew that I would do that, make a weird noise, or you know, spend a certain amount of time somewhere, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And that she would point it out because it was new to her.
Yeah.
And she noticed it immediately. But I had gotten into a place where I didn't notice it.
That's funny.
Yeah, and
we haven't had that yet, but also we are older.
Which would be worse in my mind. It seems like there's a lot of things that would bother you quicker.
Luckily, like with the Lord's guidance, not that I'm like great. There are going to be things that come up for sure, but I'm pretty self-aware at least. I'm at least at this point aware of some of those odd things about myself. So not yet.
Okay. All right. Well, lucky you.
I'm a little more OCD maybe than he expected. We were talking about something in the office the other day. I was like, but that doesn't match. And he's like, so? And I'm like, no, it has to match. He was like, why? And I'm like, I don't know. It just has to match.
Yeah. He probably would be much more comfortable in my office then.
Yeah.
He'd be like, well, see, this all just functions right.
Yes.
It doesn't look okay, but you know what? People know where stuff is.
And I realized he's more of a shopper than me, and he will just go to the store random times. I'm like, because we were talking about trying to tighten up the budget and pay off some debt and kind of just set ourselves up for a good place. And I'm like, what'd you go buy? He like goes to the store every 3 days.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, so, see, there you go.
And he was like, I didn't realize I'd be the one with the shopping problem.
Well, that's good. And again, you've been able to identify and, attack those things straight out of the gates, which is good.
Yeah.
So that leads into patience, right? If the way that we model is going to determine whether our kids turn out like, or if they even like us, then we have to understand that patience must be a virtue that we exhibit in all things. And that is very difficult and takes a lot of intentionality, because there are some people that I know that I feel like they were just given the gift of patience.
I think that's true. I think some people are more inclined.
But I don't know if that's true.
Some people work for it.
I don't know. I feel like they had to work through it, because most of the people that I know that are super patient, they're really old.
Oh,
and well, and you're like,
there's that.
Is it just till you got to the point where you're just like, man, I just know eventually, if you're just slow enough, things will come around, which is why I say it's, you're better as a parent later in life.
Right.
Because there's not that crazy urgency. You know that, things are, you can be patient, you can wait things out, and you can understand that certain things happen at certain times and then they don't. So maybe that's what it is. But love is patient, and we must be patient as well. Right. If we're going to exhibit the love that Christ wants for us, then we have to exhibit his patience.
And that's the big topic, right? It's love. Like, that is what Jesus said in the New Testament.
Commandment I give
yes,
you.
Love one another. That includes your children. And of course you love them.
In a way that it's hard to describe.
Are you loving them? You know, like, that's the behavior that they want to see. That's the behavior you need to be displaying, is love towards your children in a way that makes you patient, that makes you kind, sacrifice what you want or how you feel at that moment when you're frustrated or you just want to yell. You know, it's love that says, nope, take a moment, take a breath. Let's talk through this gently.
Yeah. And that goes into part of patience is walking at your own, at the kid's pace.
Oh, yes.
Instead of walking at your pace.
I liked that a lot.
Yeah. So, listen, this is not original content, and I don't think anything's original content at this point, but I think when you look in Scripture, you can see that Jesus walked at the pace of his disciples.
Yes.
He walked at the pace of the people that were beside him because he understood if he drug them at his pace, they would never get it. It would be a massive wreckage behind him.
Yes.
And so, well, your kids are the same way. And if you've ever walked with a small child,
toddler,
you know that you have to walk slow. Otherwise, you will pull them off their feet if you try to walk at your pace.
And then you'll be frustrated. That's the thing. When you're trying to make them walk at your pace, you're frustrated. They're frustrated. Everybody's frustrated.
Yeah, they're scared. They're angry. Yes. They're sad.
Like, why are you pulling me?
Yeah.
And you're annoyed that they're not walking faster.
That's right.
Come on, we got to go.
But the physicality of it is their legs are super small.
They can't.
And they're trying. Yes. And they just can't.
Yes.
But in a patient manner, when we're talking about the pacing of bringing kids up, they have their own pace, and we have to understand that own pace. And a lot of parents, I think, feel like they need to bring their kids along to a certain expectation level.
Yes.
And they're frustrated when their kids don't meet that level. And their kids are constantly frustrated. And also,
everybody's frustrated. And sometimes your kids are at different paces. So you might say, well, my first kid walked at this pace when he was this age. And then your second kid walks much slower. You know, you have to understand each kid has their own pace.
So we've talked about this a little bit in my older kids' lives. Paige, when she turned 16, I threw the keys at her and said, have fun.
Good luck.
And no, it wasn't even good luck. I knew she was going to be fine because she was an excellent driver. She was very responsible. She was very aware.
Right.
And she has done a fabulous job driving. Yeah. In fact, the other day she got pulled over. It was hilarious. Because she was so tore up. She was just, she was 9 miles over the speed limit.
Aww.
And they gave her a ticket for 9 miles over the speed limit. I thought, well.
A highway or through town?
She was doing 54 and a 45.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. One of those ridiculous things. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. She was still speeding. She understood it. It cost her $180. Now she drives the speed limit wherever she goes, which is fine. But she's aware like that.
Yeah.
My son, who is turning 16 soon, no way.
No way.
Not even a little bit.
A little slower.
We're going way slower.
Walk a little
and
slower.
We're more at his pace. We're trying very hard not to make him feel bad that that he's behind
it's
as far as that goes. But I think the beauty is he kind of knows it. And your kids know what their pace is.
Yeah.
Right? Now, there are certain things where you could say, well, what about laziness and all those other things? That's a whole different ballgame than pulling kids along at a pace that's faster than they can go. It would be irresponsible for me to say, hey, Jackson, you're 16. You've passed all the tests. You've had your license. Here's the keys to the car. It would be irresponsible for me to do that. Now, on the same breath, I have to, when he does get to that point where he is sufficient, I have to be willing to go,
let go a little.
Here you go.
Like,
that's right. This is,
you gotta trust his pace.
Because I can be overprotective in certain areas like that. I have to be careful not to say, but let's just drag it out another
a little
year.
Longer. Right. You can't go slower than they,
when he's ready. And this is what I've learned with Jackson. When he's ready and he's a boy, he's very different than girls,
which we talked about a couple weeks ago.
When he's ready, he's good.
Yeah.
But until he's ready, you cannot pull him along.
Yeah. And which is probably good for you to learn that. Like you can't pull them.
I can't pull them along. And I want to, because I was modeled, pull them along. They'll figure it out on their way up there.
Yeah.
In fact, I think a lot of people our age were modeled that.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Because they were modeled that as well. And in a much less explanatory way.
Right.
To just, here's how you, here's what you
do. Deal with it. Let's go.
Yeah. Figure it out. Don't call me.
Yeah.
Just figure it out and I'll see you there.
Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting.
Different culture.
It is very different.
Different culture.
You know, there's a lot more explanation now. There's a lot more expectation for certain things. But there, that also tends to lead to the helicopter parenting and the
there's good and bad. Yeah, every generation.
Unwillingness to let go of control. And
keep your kids at home
forever. That's just as worse. That's just as bad, honestly. It may even be worse. So make sure you're walking at their own
pace.
Make sure that you are understanding where they are.
And here's what I like from, they might not turn out the way that you want them to, but they might just turn out the way God wants them to.
I want you to say that again.
They might not.
Hold on a second. The parents that have, everyone just heard what she said.
And let it sink
you
in.
Might have been willing to turn us off right there, but I want you not to turn us off. And I want you to listen again to what she just said. It's very, very important.
They might not turn out the way that you want them to turn out, but they might turn out the way that God wants them to and who they're really meant to be. So that is part of walking at their pace, is letting them become who they are, not who you expect them to be.
Because your responsibility is not to determine the course of life for your kids.
Right.
Your job is to guide them.
Yes.
To set them on the path that you know, that you walk, to show them that, to model them that, to give them the best you possibly can, but then to understand that maybe, just maybe, they're not going to turn out like you. And that's
or even like you expect.
Fine.
Maybe you want them to be exactly opposite of you.
That's right.
And your goal in life is like, they're not going to turn out like me. But again, you're still trying to force them to be something that you have created in your head, that maybe that's just not who they are.
So my dad really wanted me to be a good football player.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it was pretty evident quickly that I was small. I was very small. And he didn't understand that. My grandmother
was your dad
didn't
big?
Understand that. He's a normal size guy, right? Like he's 5'11", 185 pounds.
Okay.
He's a normal size guy.
Gotcha.
It's not who I was. It took me until 40 to hit 160. Okay. So I was really small for a really long time with a gigantic head. And although I enjoyed...
I'm looking at you now. You don't have a gigantic head.
Well, I've grown into it a little bit. A little bit. I look like a bobblehead doll for most of junior high and high school.
Is that why you collect them?
Yes, it's right. It's just a reminder.
There's a little collection in his office of bobblehead dolls.
Yeah. So he wanted me to be a football player, and he couldn't understand. Like, I was just not an aggressive kid.
Yeah.
I was not physically able to do a lot of those things. I wanted to, and I worked really hard.
Yeah.
I really, really wanted to be stronger, and I did get stronger, and I wanted to be faster, and I did get faster, and I wanted to be better at playing football, and I did. But ultimately, when I graduated high school, I was 5'9", 130 pounds.
Yeah.
That's not football material.
Right.
And it took my dad a long time to figure out that that was
just not going to happen.
Okay, mm-hmm. That his son wasn't going to play football.
Yeah.
And I got really good at another sport, and he learned to enjoy that sport. And he didn't understand it.
Right.
Which was also hard for him because he understood football really well.
Yeah.
And he could coach me, and he could take me to the backyard, and he could show me all these things. But when I said, hey, I'm going to pole vault, he went,
I don't even know.
I have no idea how
that works. I don't
know
how you get over that
and
big pole.
Every track meet he'd go to, he'd be like, man, I have no idea how you're doing that. And
yeah.
Like, I don't know either. I just, for some reason, I can do it pretty well. But it took a lot. And I'm thankful that eventually he came around and he didn't just cut me out based on the fact that I didn't become what he wanted.
Right.
And that was a good encouragement to me. And I try to do the exact same thing with my kids. And again, I talk a lot about Jackson because he's the only boy I got.
Mm-hmm.
I had other boys, I talk about them too. But for the first 10 years of his life, Jackson was completely uninterested in sports.
Yeah.
And now that's all he wants to talk about.
That's so funny.
And
But he does it like analytically, right?
Analytically,
like
he's not playing anything anymore, which again, I thought might kill me.
Right.
Right. That my kids wouldn't play sports. And my girls, the youngest one loves sports. And
Paige does, doesn't she?
No. Well, no. That's not fair. She tries to pole vault. And I think she mostly does it because I did.
She did. Okay.
But she doesn't really like it. And she definitely doesn't like to do the work. And she doesn't like anybody watching her.
That's fun.
So
there you go.
Jackson's the only one that really cares about sports. Zoe, I think,
She
does enjoy a lot of things, and she's the one that asks about things.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the fifth kid, is we've kind of gone through all of these others, and we messed up with Paige trying to get her to do this and do that, and she hated it and tried to, the same thing with Jackson. But with Jackson, we had learned, let's just see. Mm-hmm. And he picked it up when he wanted to and when he asked about it. And that's really what our model has always been.
Right.
We're not
see
gonna,
what they want to do.
We're not going to put our kids in just every sport and put them in every event.
Yes.
We're going to let them ask and be interested in the thing that they are. And what that means is they haven't done a ton of things. Yeah, well, it's mental sanity. But also, you know, like Zoe asks.
Yeah, she wants to play
basketball. I want to do gymnastics. I want to do tumbling. I want to do this. And we're like, oh, okay. Hey, well, let's try it out. Let's see what it is. And our kids will go, well, why didn't we do that? I'm like, you did never say.
You never
asked. We had all the same opportunities for you, and you saw all these things, and all your friends are doing this, and you never once said, you know, I want to do that. Because we never once said, no, you can't do that.
Right.
There may have been one thing, like Paige kind of wanted to get into club volleyball, but she really didn't. She just had some friends that were in club volleyball, and club volleyball is so expensive.
So expensive, yeah.
So I was like, hey, listen, let me see how much you really want it.
Yeah.
You put the effort in, you get out there and practice, and you get out there and show me that you're willing to put the commitment in, and then I will absolutely sign you up for it. And guess what?
About she did.
2 weeks, she was like, you know, and that would have been, listen, the club volleyball team's not letting you out because your kid's like, they really didn't like that much.
I think that's a good model, though, because you do see that, like, it's just that entitlement thing, like, I'm entitled to everything and to try everything, but then they're not willing to put in the work. Some kids are. Some kids are in a sport and they love it, and their parents are faithfully taking them and they're faithfully playing, but a lot of times they're just doing it because, hey, why not? Because I can, because I should, because my friends are. And so I think it's a good model to wait till they show interest or commitment.
Because you want them to be able to freely make it and know that they can make their own decisions.
Right.
And that they are in charge and responsible of their life. That they're not going to be able to look back in 10 years and say, hey, my parents didn't set me up for this.
Right.
Right. Because that's not what's going to happen.
Right.
They have to take responsibility for their lives. Just like you have to take responsibility for your lives as an adult.
Yes. Take responsibility for your parenting. You can't blame it on how your parents parented you.
That's right. You can, but that doesn't help.
It doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't help. That's the thing.
Yes. Yeah, you can spend all your life being the victim and blaming everyone
else. It will never
change.
It will never improve until
and
you
take
ownership.
You're going to be disappointed all your life.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great. And again, it's not easy what we're talking about today, but it's simple, right? Mm-hmm. The way to influence your child's life is to love them and to show that love to them. Patience and kindness and
so we work with
model
kids,
behavior
and one of the things that, at a church and as a Christ follower, one of the things that is you know, you hope for the most is that your kids will grasp and take hold of your faith and champion it, and it would impact their life as much as it's impacted your life, right? That is a great hope for all parents that I talk to. They want their kids to accept Christ and to become a Christ follower, and so a lot of times they will force that issue they'll force their kids to come to church. Yes. They'll force their kids to go to certain things. And guess what? Sometimes that doesn't work.
It backfires.
I think when I say sometimes, I mean a lot of the times. And so again, that's one of those things that I've tried to model in my life in that. And it's hard because I want them to go. And there's a certain period of time where they don't get a choice.
I was going to say, so if they don't want to go to church, you still kind of make them come.
At certain ages, right?
Yeah.
Paige is at an age now where if she woke up and said, you know what, I'm done. I'm not, I would say, okay, I just need to understand why, where's your head at, what happened, let's talk through this. But if in the end, that's just your decision, I don't like it. It's definitely not my decision, but I love you regardless of those things.
And I think sometimes kids need that to see
how real your faith really is.
Yes.
Because again, it's not an indication.
It's not a religion you're forcing on them.
That's right. It's not an indication of you necessarily. But sometimes kids just make those decisions that are difficult, that to walk away from something as important as faith. And you have to allow them to make that decision to walk, because guess what? God's doing something in their life too.
Right. And
when you give up control and allow God to do what he's doing, you'll be amazed at what happens.
Because they might walk away eventually when they're away from home and not taking your advice anymore, and you don't have those opportunities to have those conversations. So if you force them through high school, then they go off to college or young adulthood,
and they walk away anyway. Yeah, in fact, that's more detrimental, I think, than having it, being able to have that genuine conversation when they're still at your home.
Right. Yeah.
And again, that's hard, and a lot of people don't agree with me, but I think when you step back and you listen to the principles that we've talked about today, and you talk about allowing your kids to be responsible for their own lives and to understand that your kids are not you.
Right.
They are their own person, and your job is not to determine the course of their life, but instead to guide them and to show them what your life is. That's why your kids can't be the center of your world.
Yes.
They can't be the center of your whole family. Your family existed way before your kids came around. Your family started when your marriage took place. And that's why the marriage relationship is the most important relationship. And it can't be the kids. And if your family is centered solely around your kids and your husband or your wife is taking a back seat, you've got it wrong. You've got to readjust and reallocate priorities.
Yeah.
Because they're seeing that, and they know, kids, for some reason, when they know that they're the center of the universe, that affects them for when they grow up. Plus, it doesn't give them the ability to really determine the course of their life, because nowhere in the world will they be the center of the tension forever.
And we've talked all along through these podcasts about raising adults, and this is what it's about, is an adult is responsible for their own life. An adult makes their own decisions and choices about what they're going to do in life. So they have to start when they're in your home and when they're young.
Yep. That's right. Otherwise, you're going to look back in 20 years and you're going to say, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I tried.
My child isn't making any decisions. My child is not being responsible.
That's right.
Living on their own.
And you may end up looking at your spouse and going, I don't know who this person is, because I spent all my time focused on the kids. And man, you don't want that at all. That's not the design of God. That's not the design for marriage. It's not the design for family, because you don't want your kids growing up having the same type of marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that idea that you're a family before you have kids.
Yep.
You know, you're family when you get married.
Yep.
It's great.
How's your family? Your family's doing good.
Your family's doing all right.
Two dogs and...
yeah, our little big dogs.
So one of the things that you... This will finish on a funny note, because that was pretty heavy. I've known a lot of couples that have gotten married and they had dogs or some type of animal.
Before they got married?
Before they had kids.
Uh-huh. Oh, and before they had kids.
Before they had kids. And those dogs were absolutely the kids. You know, they're loved. And I don't think that's you, but it's, maybe it is.
But it would have been me. It is not my husband.
Okay, good. So, well, that helped. That helps. But so my sister, the one that's closest to me in age, they had a dog before, and this was the best dog in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Like, I've met a lot of dogs that were the kids, and they're not great dogs. They're spoiled and they're ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
This dog was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It understood English as any dog I've ever met in my life. I loved that dog. It was so well behaved. It was calm. And then they had kids. And that poor dog was so neglected.
And
so just forgotten about. Well, they had twins right off the bat, right? And they were a little older, and it was pretty traumatic.
So did the dog start acting up?
No.
Oh, no.
He acted up a little bit in that he started, like, just doing little things. Like, he started pulling trash out of the trash can, which he had never done.
Right.
He started kind of demanding a little bit more attention, in that he would just come and sit with him on the couch. Normally, he would just stay on his bed and just be fine. But it was hilarious. But, like, they starved him, too. Like, there were days where he just didn't get fed, and so he lost a lot of weight.
Him?
And the poor dog. I remember going over to their house and being like, what happened?
Yeah.
They're like, old Bates is taking a little bit of a back seat.
That's terrible.
They got it all regulated, right?
Yeah, that's good.
But the reality was, you know, that dog was the center of their world.
Yeah.
And then the real centers and real important people came. And
not
that
the centers,
poor dog,
but important.
Well, no. And unfortunately,
more important than
kind
the
of the centers. they've
don't
gotten
let
better.
That
they've gotten a lot better. They've learned they've got to get away. You know, when you have twins, I've never had twins. I've had multiple people come to live at my house at a time, which is similar to twins, similar, but not right. nearly as hard as baby twins.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine.
That's a rough one.
Different sleeping schedules. Like you just get one to sleep and the other
exactly.
one.
Exactly. And her husband travels a lot. You know, every once in a while, he would have to go to China for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
About every 3 months, he has to go to China for 2 weeks. And that's real rough. So
it's rough.
They've learned how to cope and adapt. But that poor dog. Eventually he came back around. He gained weight again. He's passed on since then, but I miss that dog. But
I think my dogs are feeling a little bit of that when the husband moved in. They went out into the backyard and they tore up toilet paper and they had never done that before.
They're a lot like kids in that they're like, hey, you're going to give me some attention.
Yes.
And I may not try to get it in
now
the most healthy way.
Digging holes in the backyard. Uh-huh. They've never done that. And I'm what is happening here?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's funny, but it is true. Anyway, listen, I hope you got something out of this. I would recommend if you've enjoyed this content and you're mm-hmm. looking for a little bit more or maybe a more clear explanation of what we just talked about, Andy Stanley is doing a series currently at his church in Atlanta, Georgia called Parenting in the 21st Century. Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal. What he talks about is not revolutionary things. It's not new information necessarily. It is just clear biblical insight mm-hmm. on the way that God intends us to raise our kids. And I would recommend you can go to YouTube. You can search for it on YouTube. They have a good YouTube channel that has great content on it. I would fully recommend that you take advantage of that. But thanks for listening to us because, you know, you get a much shorter tidbit of information and offshoots of those same
and
thoughts.
And funny stories about our lives.
And yeah, strange stories about our life, which is the beauty of podcasts, the long format. You get a little bit of laughter and you get a little bit of, I don't know if you watched Live at Lunch yesterday, but there was a hilarious story of Jesse trying to scare Dalton. If you're not subscribed to the Live at Lunch podcast, search Live at Lunch right after this show.
Do it.
And you won't be able to find that episode for a couple more weeks, but.
Oh, did you pre-record?
Well, no, we just do it live, and right now the podcasts haven't caught up yet.
Oh,
so the podcasts are all taped right now, but it's probably in the next 3 weeks we'll be back to live, only posting once a week. So anyway.
All right.
Thanks so much for joining us today. This has been Parenting Matters. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next week. She didn't say bye today.
I didn't. Sorry.